Today, a summer garden and how that fits into your homeschooling plans. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, where we share faith for overcoming learning problems, faith and good ideas and practical ideas, and let's have them work together. Yes? Okay, so I'm Sharon Sarles. I'm your master educator and older mother and grandmother. Looks like I have experience now, plenty of experience with being a grandmother. Okay, so run with me. I'll run with you. Be part of our tribe. Lionesses together. And so as a pack, we're going to take down whatever predators come our way, because we're going to take care of our little cubs. Yes. Okay, so please stop by the website where we've got our merch. We've got some sales going on. Actually, we've got quite a few sales. We've got our homeschool packet on sale, our pandemic packet. Let's hope that we don't need to talk about that much more, and then a Dangerous Times packet, which really has to do with education a lot. I think that goes with what's trending, okay? And stick with me to the very end. We'll see how gardening works for homeschooling and an educational project any way you slice it. And it could be very juicy. Okay. Okay, welcome back, everybody. So this is an episode we're going to focus on gardening. I apologize, we've had some interruption while I was taking care of other fires, family fires and business fires, and it's all good. And we're going to talk about gardening. I've also loaded up one of our oldie goldies back when I was in the radio station and Marcus came on with me. He's got a nursery in the Austin metro area, actually in Elgin, which is just east. Wonderful nursery, and he's a great guest, and we had a lot of fun. Now, were wonderful days back in 08, 09 time frame, where I was in the studios of, I think it was KLGO at that time, Christian Teaching and Talk. So the radio station has gone through some changes, and I went on to podcasting. I was an early adopter of podcasting because it was evident to me that the young women were more likely to be listening to podcasts than to Christian radio, which was more for people my age or older. And so went on podcasting, and now, of course, podcasting is much more popular than it was then. I had numbers then that, compared to some of the biggest ministries in the nation, and people said, no, you don't. Well, yeah, I did. but now I guess I have more competition. Anyway, I'm glad to have you, and you are one of my friends sitting down at my kitchen table with a cup of coffee, cup of tea, whatever you like. And we're friends in the Lioness Pride and the Lioness Tribe. So here we go, gardening. You know, it's almost impossible to get the timing right on gardening, because where you are in the country, let alone the world, makes a big difference about when you're going to put in your garden. And welcome to all of those who are outside the United States. And, you know, I have a Texas perspective because that's where I live. And it's late for putting in a garden here in Texas, so I'm going to talk about being late. But I also like to be early when I put in my gardens. So if you read the instructions, it will say plant after last frost. Well, the last frost is in mid-April where I live, and the growing season ends about June. In Canada, they're planting after the Queen's birthday. That means late May they're planting, and they have one planting season, summer. There used to be a song I used to like to sing in Canada. Well, let's see. It gets up to, anyway, it's 20 below in the winter. No, it's 40 below in the winter. It's 20 below in the fall. It gets up to zero in springtime. We don't have no summer at all. That's the song. Anyway, one planting season. One growing season. In Texas, we have short spring and a fall growing season, and it's considered too hot to grow most things in the summer. And of course, other places, it could be completely different. Right now, in the United States, there's a big controversy between gardeners about the no-dig method and the no-till method, and can that work in all of our geographic regions? Well, there's a real big difference between geographic regions, and I'm not going to try to solve that, but I will say that using a lot of mulch that will degrade into soil and amending your soil like that is definitely the way to go. But you can't do that in some cases, particularly if you're going to sow direct sow instead of use sets. So sets, you know, are little plants that you put the seed in little pots, and so before you take them to the garden, they're already plants. So the basic no-till method is you take the big weeds off of your garden with a hoe, then you put down cardboard is best. You can use leaf bags if you're using the hard newspaper type, you know, or grocery bag paper, the paper bags for leaves. So you buy those at the big box store where you put those down and then put leaves down, or and you might put something else. So leaves and grass clippings and maybe a little bit of soil, and put or even compost order, and then wet that down with, you know, water with your hose, and then you dig through all of that to insert your plants. So that's the basic idea. So when I came to the house that I'm living in now, people saw that I was garden. They laughed at me. They said, "We don't have soil for gardening." I said, "Well, I think I can probably garden." And they said, "Oh, do you really?" Because they have pretty rocky soil. Well, I was lucky that where I put my garden, there was some clay. But I saw people with this no-till method gardening on what had been parking lots. So I was pretty confident that I could do that. That's not the limiting factor. You can build soil. You can cart soil in. You can build soil. But the limiting factor here is having enough water. And so when I discovered that you could make drip irrigation system with the timer, my world was much better. Anyway, many of you have no problems at all. You have wonderful soil and enough rainfall, and please take advantage of it. You know what's trending. You know that people are talking about shortages, supply chain shortages, food shortages. Some people are reporting that food processing plants have been sabotaged. Then people have reported, no, you know, they catch on fire all the time. Yes, two or three catch on fire every year, but we've had upwards of 16, and all catch on fire or blow up on Thursday morning. Well, when more than 16 happened, so that's a plan. Who's doing it? I have no idea. Is this hyped up? I don't know. It's clear to me that people, shopkeepers are saying if they're out of something, they're blaming it on supply issues. And then I go online to the manufacturers and there's no issue. So maybe there's a transportation issue, or maybe people are just lazy, and when, you know, everything in the world was COVID's fault, yes, there was a COVID. Yes, there was a scandemic. But and not everything in the world was COVID's fault. But, you know, if somebody was short-staffed or somebody didn't want to come in, it was COVID's fault. But anyway, so I don't know how serious the reports of coming famine are, but I can see that it is quite likely that there could be distribution problems and there is drought in some parts of the country, and I do see some empty shelves at this point, and I can't verify all of the reports, but I'm just a be prepared girl. You know, my mother had extra food in the house. Even when I was 5, I remember Hurricane Carmen came in to Houston, and our family just did not have a problem. Dad taped the windows. We sat, watched the television, who gave us the news about the storm, and we ate like always because Mother had stocked the pantry. And I was Girl Scout, and be prepared is the Girl Scout motto. So, yes, you should have a thoroughly stocked pantry and be sure you have those things that are nutritious and won't spoil and will work for your family. You know, there are a number of food suppliers that will sell you things in big cans. I haven't bought most of those because I look at the ingredients and that's not what I want to eat. But you can buy, for instance, you can buy shelf-stable ghee, which is butter. You can buy shelf-stable coconut oil. You can buy bottles of olive oil. You can buy a freezer full of meat. You can buy jerky. You can buy bags of black beans and all kind of beans and cans. Now, cans will last, 3 or 4 years. You have to have certain freeze-dried nitrogen-packed bags, vacuum-packed bags to last 10, 25 years, right? You have to have special packaging for that. But we're not looking at a collapse of 25 years, I hope, but certainly for the summertime, surely, right? And whatever doesn't grow in your neighborhood. But I encourage you to go out to the farmer's market, subscribe to a CSA, community-supported agriculture. Basically, it's a gardener who gives you things on subscription. And I've discovered that not all farmers, or even truck farmers, or even people at the farmer's market know about CSAs. But you can get on a subscription with your local, with some farmers. And boy, that's a wonderful thing. Okay, but you can put in a garden yourself. Do you know that most of the United States metro areas are on top of most of our best arable soil? Why is that? Because we founded cities where we could garden well, where we could farm well, and then the cities grew, and so your backyard is probably on some of the best farming land in the country. Your backyard, and whether you are going to have a few pots on your patio, or you're going to have a garden plot in your backyard, or you're going to turn your whole backyard into a food paradise, and there are a few people who have done this, please do it. Not only because it's good for feeding your family, and actually, if you add everything, including your labor, it's going to be about equal to paying for the highest quality food. Yes, it will cost you money. If you're good at it, you could probably do it pretty cheaply. But if you're going to start, then you're going to say, oh, well, I have to buy this and I have to buy that. You have to buy hoses and you have to buy fertilizer or manure or soil amendments or seeds and plants, and the seeds and the plants are more expensive this year. But it comes out to be higher quality food. Well, you have to know how to do it. And it comes out to be about the same price as organic produce in market. So that's all good. Okay. So I hear you asking, yes, but Sharon, what about these late gardens? It's already May. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to tell you, based on my experience and being here in Texas, where it is hot, that there are some things that you can grow and even plant in Texas. The trouble is that most of your stores are selling things that were meant to grow in New England. So don't do that. Get a seed supplier and a set supplier from your area. And then find in the seed catalogs things that are particularly meant for your part of the world or a similar part of the world. For instance, everybody likes to buy beefsteak tomatoes because they're great big, and you can go and buy, you know, famous name seeds or little sets, beefsteak tomatoes. That's just not going to grow all that well. I mean, you're going to have to be pretty good to grow that anywhere. But in the summer in Texas, not going to work. But if you get Sunfire tomatoes or some other brand, I had Jericho lettuce and Sunfire tomatoes and Syrian cucumbers in my garden once, right? All varieties that were meant for hot, dry climates. So use that logic. Go find a seed supplier in your country, in your geographic area, and then use their catalogs to pick what would work. So when I lived in Canada, I also look for produce that matures quickly, like the Rutgers tomatoes. They're not as big, but they will mature faster and they produce really well. So that worked for me. I've often grown Rutgers. I like kale. And so here's some things. You can keep them. So I would have planted kale earlier, and I would have planted, oh, I was going to talk about early. Well, anyway, I'm launched into late. So I would have planted Swiss chard. I like those things. The Swiss chard in Texas just won't make it during the summer. But red Russian kale will make it in a Texas summer, particularly if it's shaded. And shade is a problem often in your garden because you've got, in your backyard, because you've got trees overhanging. Well, it's not a problem if you know what to plant. So I would plant the kale where the tree shades. And tomatoes also in Texas, summers need to be shaded. Now, people with big truck gardens will build structure and put shade cloth over rows and rows. Yes, and in fact, we have a lot of tomato production in Texas, in West Texas, in greenhouses. Okay, but if you're if you can find some healthy sets, you could put those out in the shade. If you're directly sowing and it's late and it's hot and dry where you are, then black-eyed peas, crowder peas, butter beans / lima beans, these things will grow well. Garlic always seems to grow for me. And bell peppers, particularly the purple ones, have grown very well in the summer for me. The hot peppers do. Lettuce, no. You're just going to give up on lettuce if it's too hot and dry. And don't even think of trying to do iceberg lettuce. So we're talking loose leaf lettuce. Okay, so I don't know anybody who can grow iceberg lettuce except for professional growers in California. And then how about corn? So there is a whole company, or two or three companies maybe, that specialize in Southwest corn and beans, and they grow in dry, hot and dry climate. Early, I go for early too. So in Texas, I'll plant tomatoes and squash. I'll plant things in January. Remember I said the last frost is April? Well, I have often harvested about the time that other people are planting. Sometimes I lose it with a hard frost. okay, not a bad gamble. Okay. All right. So how does this fit into homeschooling? Well, I think you will hear Marcus Young talking about gardening with kids, but let me tell you, it can fit in so many ways with just a little thought. How about botany? Why do we need to talk about, well, you do need to talk about monocots, dicots, and so you have to talk about the palms and the sago palms and the and the pine trees and so forth. But botany, so maybe it's advanced botany in your garden. Basic patience for the little ones. So try radishes for your little ones, maybe radishes in pots. Construction, because you may need to build raised beds. You may need to figure out how to do a walkway. If you just lay down, you know, marble rocks, you're going to get a big fat mess if the grass grows up. So how are you going to do that? And research methods. How are you going to find out which methods you're going to use? And, you know, it's going to be more than just watching a couple of videos, right? Which is now what everybody does. Yes, some of these video channels are very helpful, but you're going to need to think through a little bit more than just watching two or three videos. So for somebody like your child who is new to gardening, right, maybe they would be well advised to start with interviewing some old hands at gardening. Maybe that's their grandparents. Maybe that's the guy down the block. Okay. Then there's cooking and home ec, and that relates to a whole lot of things. There's, of course, some science involved and all kinds of, oh my gosh, I'm thinking of pressure cookers, right? And how you would do that and how you would calculate that and why it's necessary and what happens if you mess that up. There's prepping skills and homesteading skills, and how might you dry your produce when it comes in. And then, of course, there's business. So how would you plan for farm business? I remember, I think it was John Hagee said that to make money when he was a youngster, he had to plant and sell produce. His parents had land and were willing to give him seed, and if he wanted to put his effort out, and that's how he made money. And so that's a great plan. I recommend it, particularly if other people don't have gardens. This year might be a very good time to actually have a little stand or make gifts. You know, how about planting a fig tree? Well, it's too late to plant a fig tree now and get figs for this year. But if you had a fig tree, then you could make fig preserves and have great Christmas gifts. Okay, please come to the website at www.greatshalom.org, alternatively, www.overcominglearningproblems, and type in your great ideas, how you would use gardening in your homeschool curriculum. Okay, I think it'll be a lot of fun. It could be very useful if we need our produce, and I recommend it highly for lots of reasons. It's educative, and we've talked about how you can make it educative. It's helpful. Just getting in the soil with those microbes, just getting in a proper way. Of course, you wash your hands afterwards, but getting in the sunlight. Of course, eating natural food, because you're not going to be putting poisons on it. Get away from the processed food. Find out how real food really tastes. It's helpful. And maybe there's a spiritual component. God planned for a great life for us in creation. And we understand in the telos, in the end of things, that creation will be put back to rights and with the manifestation of the sons of God, Romans 8. And so I believe that having a more natural lifestyle is part of the optimal lifestyle of those who follow Jesus, Yeshua. So I think that the practical and the spiritual go together and are meant to go together. Anyway, let me pray you out. Let me pray blessings on you if you will accompany me to the throne of grace. Holy God, great creator, redeemer, great teacher, we thank you for all the many blessings and benefits that you have given to us. Help us to be wise as we teach our children, as we grow our children. Thank you for your great promises. We ask that you give us wisdom for gardening, for homeschooling, for facing the summer, and most of all for parenting. Help us as we help them to grow. And we rest in your blessings as we fear you and we learn of you. We listen to what you have to say, that you have blessed us. You have said that we would be blessed in the city and in the country, coming and going, that the fruit of our body would be blessed, and the fruit of our ground would be blessed, the fruit of our cattle, and we would be blessed in our basket and in our store, in our coming and our going. And so I pray this for all of my listeners and for their children. Help us to listen well. Help us to believe and receive these blessings of creation, blessings of end-time promises, and blessings that you walk with us. We pray in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I know you want to get my Dangerous Times Secrets to Victory for Parents and Educators. You need it. It will revolutionize the way you deal with your children or teach your class. I guarantee it. Vital teaching. 4 CDs in a set. Write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And this podcast is found wherever you find podcasts. If you're not finding it, let me know. Okay. And please share it. Thank you very much.